The question today is, what is a sin unto death? Of course, that comes from really John, 1 John 5:16, where the Bible talks about praying for one another. In verse 14, he said, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it." In other words, notice it said brother. It means the one that's saved. When a brother commits a sin, and God says, don't pray for him because he's crossed the deadline. He's committed the sin unto death. You say, but what sin is that? Well, I'll say this. It's any sin that God says one more time and that's it. In other words, you can't go any further. I know God's long-suffering. I know He'll forgive 70 times 7. But there comes a time that God says in a person's life, if he continues the same one over and over, God said, I've given you victory. I've given you enablement. I've given you grace. Now, if you do it one more time, that's it. So, therefore, you can't, and by the way, you can't live habitually. Now, God's not going to let you be false advertisement if you're His child. Now, I know that you can sin several times and have forgiveness and up and down and back and forth and be saved. But yet, the Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 9, He said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's why it's important to know your tenses of the verbs here. In the Greek, the tense of the verb is a continuous action verb, which means you cannot practice sin naturally. You cannot live an habitual lifestyle. A person who lives an habitual lifestyle in sin has never been saved. That's why you realize something. The Holy Spirit guides you. The Bible said in John 16:13, after it talks about being reproved by the Spirit of God, He said, I've sent Him in the world, but He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, verse 12. But you cannot bear them now. In other words, He said to the disciples, they were the saved ones, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit guides you. He lives inside every saint of God. He's a hidden radar. He warns you before you even do something. He's the patrol. Like the patrol. I use illustration a lot of times. The law is not near as great a restraint on you as the grace of God. Because when you're saved, it's by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside. But you can go down the road and see the 55-mile speed limit sign and pass many of them. And it not bother you one minute if you're doing 70 miles an hour. But you come up on a patrol car and you'll look at your speedometer. Your heart will raise its rate. And you'll gasp for breath. You'll let off the accelerator. You'll try to slow down. Try to keep getting the ticket. See, the patrol had more effect on you than the law did. And so the Holy Spirit is like a patrol in your heart to guide you into all truth. He warns you before you even do something, whether it's right or not. And the Bible speaks in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 about the fact that God's children are chastened. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening, thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. In other words, he said every son of God is going to have chastisement. And he said if you're not a partaker of chastisement, he said you're a bastard and not a son. That means you're illegitimate. You're claiming to be saved, but you've never been saved. You're not one of his. You see, I can't spank other people's children. I can spank my own children. And therefore, I know we're living in a world where you're not supposed to do that today. That's not ethical. But I want to tell you what, the Bible says the blueness of the womb cleanse the way evil. So there's a right and a way to do things. And, well, I'm not getting to that. That's not what this message is about. But the Holy Spirit will chasten everyone who belongs to Him. So if you're saved, He'll chasten you. Now, what is chastening? chastening is divided into more than one part. You see, chastening, first of all, deals with instruction. You realize something whenever you come to church. That's what the preacher's there for, is to preach the message that God lays on his heart as best he knows how for that day. And that's preaching the whole counsel of God, by the way, whatever that congregation needs that day. And then what happens is that's the instruction to you. That's why a pastor who preaches the word and does what he should doesn't have a whole lot of counseling to do as far as this counseling situation. But he has something to do in this area of instruction. And when God's Spirit lives inside you and the preacher preaches that, that's God's chastening to you to get you, if he's preaching against what you're doing or about to do. The Holy Spirit's already warned you, but now you've got the mouth of two witnesses, and it's God's instruction, which is the chastisement of the Lord, to help you to get right. And if you'll get right, praise God. That's as far as it goes. God said, if you'll confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And you know, he also said that he's the propitiation of the whole world. But before that, he said in 1 John 2, he said that, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. In other words, he set a goal out there for us to reach sinless perfection. We'll not reach it in this body. We'll not reach it with this flesh. But we ought to strive to do better tomorrow than we did today. And he said, we've got an advocate, though, when we do sin, the Lord will forgive. So when instruction comes, that's part of the chastening hand of God that causes you to repent and get right with the Lord. Then if you fail to heed that message and you sort of buck up against that and don't heed the grieving of the Spirit in your heart and the instruction of the chastisement of God, God's going to send a scourge across your path. We call them whips sometimes, but he'll scourge you. And in what form that comes, I cannot tell you. But you'll know if you're his. You'll know when God chastens you. And he'll warn you plainly. You better stop this. I mean, you better clean up your act. You better, in other words, you get to the place you need to be. And yet God's long-suffering. Sure he is. But then if you fail to do that, if you fail to heed that, if you'll confess again, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. But if you fail to heed and you bow up your back and stiffen your neck, go a little bit further and just say, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what God said. I'm going to do what I want. You let flesh on the throne of your life instead of the Holy Spirit. And then what happens is he's going to send a catastrophe in your life. Now, I don't know what that catastrophe will be. It'll be something that you'll know about if you're really his, because the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. It might not even touch your flesh. It might touch your loved ones. It might touch someone who's not even to the knowledge of accountability. It may be taken out. Who knows? I don't know. But there's a catastrophe is going to come your way. If you rebel against the instruction, you rebel against the scourge, there's going to come a catastrophe. That's God's way. And so as a result, he'll do that. Then and by the way, you realize something. If you're sinning habitually and never confessing your sin, it's not going to take him a long period of time to do that. Some people say, well, I saved and lived like the devil for 10 years and then got right with the Lord. No, you never was saved. You're habitually in sin, and you never had chastisement. You might have been bothered because of the upbringing of mom and dad or some standard that they laid up against or grew you up by, but it's not the chastisement of God, because he's not going to let this thing play out over a period of 10 years. I don't even believe he'll let it play out over the period of 2 years without dealing with you. So there's instruction, there's a scourge, there's the chastening and the scourge, of course, and then there's the catastrophe comes in your life. But if you bow up your back against that, don't confess it. Now, if you confess it, God's faithful and just to forgive you. You might have to reap some consequences of those deeds, but you're not going to have to reap the punishment of that. And so as a result, he'll forgive. But if you bow up your neck and bow up your back and say, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to do what I want to do, then what you're going to do is God's going to send a casket in your life. It's going to be yours. It's what's called a sin unto death. In other words, you've crossed God's deadline. And he said, listen, when you see a man do that, don't pray for him. It's too late for him because he's already refused instruction. He's refused the chastisement of the scourging. He's refused the catastrophe. Now then, I'll send the casket. He can't refuse that because I'm the one in control of that. And he'll take you on home early. Oh, yeah, you'll go home, but you'll be at the judgment seat with an empty hand and not have anything to throw back at the feet of Jesus there as far as the others throw back their crowns. You won't have that. Yet, in other words, the Bible even said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. And so therefore, that's God's way. So don't refuse the instruction. Don't refuse the chastening or the scourging. Don't refuse the catastrophe. Get right with God, or else a casket will come in your life and you'll go home early. I use the illustration when I was a boy. We'd go places and visit, and I can remember Dad would tell me, no doubt, and instruct me not to show out, not to do this, not to do that, what to do and what not. Well, they'd begin picking at me, and I'd begin to show out, and he'd give me the eye. He'd instruct me, you see, and more or less snap his finger and tell me to sit down. If I didn't take heed to that, he'd carry me outside, and he'd chastise me with a scourge. He'd whip me with his belt, and then he'd carry me back, and he'd say, now, don't you do that no more. And then he'd carry me back inside, and then if I did it again, he'd carry me out, and he'd really give me a good going over. There's where the catastrophe would come in. I mean, he'd fix it so I wished I hadn't have done that. But if I refused, and I don't know that I ever did that in one sense of the word, but when that chastisement, catastrophe come, that extra whipping, Dad would say something like this, son, you're embarrassing your daddy. If you do it one more time, I'm going to take you home. And I'm sure we went home a lot of times early because I was an embarrassment to my dad. So if you refuse the instruction of God's chastening hand, you refuse the chastening as far as the scourging and the catastrophe, the casket's going to come in your life. God's going to carry you home early. What sin is it? It's any sin. And I don't care what it is. It can be missing church. It can be tithing. It can be any of the 726 sins that God puts his finger on and said, son, that's it. That's enough. One more time, and it's over with for you. You're going home early, and you're embarrassing your dad. And at the judgment seat, you'll have nothing to cast back at the feet of Jesus. I think Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 committed this sin as they were trying to get some credit. They were had a little bit of pride in the flesh, and other people had sold the land and gave it to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira made a plan and said, we'll sell our property. Let's just say they said, we'll sell it for $10,000. I'll carry, and we'll tell them we got five. And you carry $2,500, and I'll carry $2,500, and we'll be all right. They'll pat us on the back and say, look what they've done. Well, it was theirs to do what they wanted to with. They didn't even have to sell it, but they wanted a little glory for themselves. And the Holy Spirit warned them not to do that. And they went in, and Ananias went in first and laid his $2,500 down and whatever he had. And Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost, and gave him an opportunity to confess. But he didn't do it. And he fell dead right there in the front of the congregation. 3 hours later, Sapphira come in, and she fell dead because they had sinned a sin unto death. I think we'll see them in heaven. But I think they committed sin unto death, because a lost man can get by with those things, but not a saved man, because there is a sin unto death. Don't commit that. And as a saved person, you can if you keep on resisting God's chastisement. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.